Patrick Hollister. Patrick is the active living planner with Partnership for Health in West Central Minnesota. Currently, Patrick's work is focused on Complete Streets projects. Patrick was instrumental in the Battle Lake Complete Streets project and the Parker's Prairie Complete Streets project. Patrick has a Master's of Planning from the Humphrey School at the University of Minnesota and a BA in Mathematics from McAllister College. Please help me in welcoming Patrick.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm somebody who actually reads all of the instructions for presenters on the conference website, and the APHA conference website insisted that every presenter had to have this as their second slide. Have people generally been doing that or not? Okay, all right, good. So I'm not too geeky. So, and then they also said that every presenter shall read this. So I'm just going to say, presenter disclosure, Patrick Hollister, the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. I want to stay in the good graces of the APHA because I'd like to come back here and speak again. So, Battle Lake is a city of 875 people in West Central Minnesota. It is about 3 hours northwest of Minneapolis. Please come visit us. It's a lovely place. It is 5 miles from Minnesota's newest state park, Glendalow State Park, which became a state park in 1992, and it's a terrific place. So here I am standing with the mayor of Battle Lake. This was in the fall of 2012, and we had just finished a city council meeting in which the city council voted 4-1 to go forward with a road diet and complete streets project on a state trunk highway, Trunk Highway 78, that goes right through Battle Lake. Like a lot of our rural towns across Minnesota, our main drag is a state highway. So it was very important for us to work with the State Department of Transportation. We call it MnDOT in the case of Minnesota. It was very important for us to work with MnDOT to be able to do a road diet and a complete streets project on this trunk highway. Now and every state works differently, and even different parts of the same state can work differently. So I'm not necessarily prescribing this as a magic bullet or a one-size-fits-all policy, but we found out that MnDOT was planning to just resurface the highway in 2013. We found this out in the spring of 2011, and we thought we better act now, and we may already be too late, but we better act now if we want anything more than just a resurfacing out of MnDOT. And so we quick got them on the phone and said, would you be willing to entertain doing a full reconstruction and complete streets project instead of just a mill and overlay, just a resurfacing? And state departments of transportation think way in advance. They plan way in advance. And by conventional standards, we were already 2 years too late. But our local MnDOT district, District 4, demonstrated just tremendous flexibility, and they were willing to make a huge adjustment for our benefit in what was really the 11th hour by MnDOT standards. And so here we are the night that statutorily they had to get approval from the city council, so here we are the night the city council approved it, and we were super happy. So here are some photos from the actual construction. Of course, there had to be a detour around it. That's the upper left photo. Bottom left photo is actually a pretty good... I like the bottom left photo because the bottom left photo is sort of before and after combined. You can see the old sidewalk there. Actually, this is all new concrete, but just humor me, okay? You can see the old sidewalk there, which hugs up against the buildings. Now, the old sidewalk was a little bit wider than what's in that photo because the Cobra Head light post there, that was in the same place both before and after. That was basically the edge of the sidewalk. So the Cobra Head light was on the sidewalk, but it was the very edge of the sidewalk. Then you can see the new curb line, which is the expanded sidewalk, and notice that we also have a bump out there. So we put bump outs at the intersections. And then on the right, once again, the Cobra Head light there, that used to be the edge of the sidewalk. Now it's in the middle of the sidewalk. The Cobra Head light never moved. The sidewalk grew around it. And we decided we didn't want just 17 to 24 feet of monolithic, gray, boring concrete. We wanted something to sort of break it up visually, and so down the middle, we striped what's called an amenity zone. And so those big rectangular holes there, later they got filled with exposed aggregate, which is a fancy MnDOT term for cement with a bunch of little rocks. So they, and you'll see pictures of it. It looks nicer than it sounds. And so that visually made it look very nice. But before we, they waited until after Labor Day 2013, day after Labor Day, to actually begin construction on this project. And you might say, well, why did they wait so late? Battle Lake is a highly tourism-dependent economy, and so they deliberately waited until the day after Labor Day to start construction. Now, they knew that the price they would pay for their courtesy was they'd run out of good weather, this is Minnesota, and that they would have, the parts of the project would have to be resumed in the spring of 2014. And one of them was they had to wait to fill in those rectangle boxes with the exposed aggregate until spring 2014. So over the winter, to avoid a tripping hazard, because there's a lot of ice and snow, they filled those boxes up with sand. And the mayor joked that we were going to import 400 cats downtown and that those were giant litter boxes. One thing I want to emphasize today is the importance of public art and the aesthetic dimension of complete streets projects, okay? Don't just make it safe, make it interesting and make it beautiful. You want to motivate people to walk, and one of the ways to motivate people to walk and bike is to give them something interesting to bike and walk past or bike and walk to. So we applied for a legacy arts grant through Lake Region Arts Council, our local arts council. We applied for a state arts grant to make benches, planter boxes, and original artistic bike racks. And on the benches and planter boxes, we put original mosaics. So the lady on the left there with the black hair, she is Annette Hochstein. She is local mosaic, Battle Lake mosaic artist. She supervised 133 volunteers to make mosaics to put on the benches and planter boxes, and I'll show you a photo of that in a moment. But my point with all of this is, don't forget the public art aspect, don't forget the aesthetic aspect with these complete streets projects. We also hired local metalwork artist Paul Boyum of the Battle Lake area to make four original artistic bike racks. So we decided on four themes: recreation, agriculture, natural habitat, and then this is sort of the family bike rack. And this is in the workshop of Paul Boyum. And we had three other bike racks. One looks like corn, one looks like cattails, and one looks like fishing poles. I'm not going to show you photos of those. You got to come to Battle Lake to see them. Okay, now I'm going to show you the before and after. These photos were taken by the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Jeremiah Morkey, the District 4 communications guy, took these photos. So this is the before. We have 100 feet of right-of-way in downtown Battle Lake. That's just enormous. Okay, we're blessed with enough room to do almost anything we want. I mean, we could run light rail down the middle of this if we had the money. So previously we had four 12-foot driving lanes down the middle of this, and we did a 4-to-3 conversion. So we went from four lanes to three. Then we, of course, had parallel parking on both sides, and the sidewalks were only 10 feet wide. And here comes the after. Ta-da! So what we did, 4-to-3 conversion. So I'm going to flip back and forth one more time just to emphasize some contrast here. But we went, obviously, from four lanes down to three lanes, one lane in each direction with a center turn lane. We have overbuilt capacity on many of our streets and roads in the United States. In many cases, we have more lanes than we need, or the lanes are wider than they have to be. Okay, I was just speaking with the nice young lady here from Los Angeles who's going to come up here and speak in a moment, and talking about what is the numerical threshold for doing this kind of a 4-to-3 conversion. And if you looked in an AASHTO green book 10 years ago, it would have said 15,000 AADT. In other words, if you got 15,000 cars going down the road or less, you can do a 4-to-3 conversion. But since that time, all around the country, people have been doing 4-to-3 conversions with 18,000 AADT, 22,000 AADT, and I saw online that Los Angeles attempted one at least with 28,000 AADT. So I think the number is out the window. It really depends on the local circumstances, but we can get a lot more aggressive with these 4-to-3 conversions. When you do this 4-to-3 conversion, it gives you more room on the sides to do things like add bike lanes or widen the sidewalks or whatever. So chances are pretty high that you've got a road in your community that is too wide. It's got more lanes than it needs, or the lanes are wider than it needs to be. Find those opportunities. Put that road on a road diet and use the extra space for bikes, pedestrians, disabled people, transit riders, whoever. Let me flip back and forth one more time. Just as a frame of reference again, you remember the Cobra Head lights? Okay, they never moved. Remember in 2013, they were on the edge of the sidewalk, right? And then boom, now they're in the middle. They never moved. The sidewalk grew around them. Okay. So the Minnesota chapter of the American Heart Association was so impressed by our project that they invited me to testify before a Minnesota State Legislative Committee. This is the House Transportation Committee, about the project. So I did. And in fact, I also uploaded, I wrote my testimony in advance because we knew that each speaker would only have 2 minutes. I wrote my testimony in advance and I just sat there and read it to them. And I also passed it out in writing to everybody on the Legislative Committee. I uploaded my testimony on the conference website. That's one of my two handouts. The other handout is Battle Lake's Complete Streets Policy. So check the conference website and you can see both these handouts. I was advised by the Minnesota chapter of the American Heart Association when speaking to this committee not to use the phrase complete streets, because apparently the Minnesota House Transportation Committee does not like the phrase complete streets. So I wrote my testimony in a manner where I spent 2 minutes talking about complete streets without ever using the phrase. Public art, we got a second public art grant from the same source, Lake Region Arts Council, through the Minnesota State Arts Board. We got a second legacy arts grant to convert an alley into a pedestrian street. So as part of the project, I'm going to back up here a sec. This is hard to see because there's a car in the way. But on the left, you see the store that says Hardware Hank there? Okay, now, right next to the hardware store, there's an alley, okay? It's a little hard to see, but there is a curb cut there. People used to be able to drive into that alley. And then, boom, as part of this project, we put a curb in there so nobody can drive down the alley anymore. We did that on purpose because we wanted to convert it into a pedestrian street. So then here we are with a second art grant to paint that alley. So we did a really cool paint the pavement project where we painted the alley. And then on the right there, we also hired, through the arts grant, we hired Elk River, Minnesota-based metal sculpture artist Sue Seeger, second from the right there, standing in front of the fish, to build us a 14-foot steel sculpture of a fish to put at the end of the alley, just to make the alley extra cool. And then to the left of the dude in the red shirt there is, it looks like kind of a mail drop-off box. It says free chalk, so kids can take chalk from that box 24/7, 365, and chalk the alley. And so we've got kids drawing all kinds of stuff all over the alley, and then the rain comes and washes it away, and then they can chalk all over again. And then on the left there is one of our benches. Sorry about the arrow there. On the left there is one of the benches with the original mosaics that we did as part of the Downtown Complete Streets project. And that's it for me. Thank you very much.
So, coming from Arizona, and I think knowing that a lot of the audience is from the Great Lakes regions and the Midwest, I think population-wise that there's some similarities. There's a big urban area, and there's lots of rural areas, and there's often friction between those two groups, especially when it comes to language. And so I liked what you said about how you couldn't use the word complete streets because that, for some, connotes some very... Some things that they don't want in their particular community. How did you, when you were talking to the legislature, how did you take your audience and those sort of stigmas into mind when creating your talking point?
Well, this my testimony was from the vantage point of the American Heart Association was politically motivated, although it wasn't politically motivated for me, but the American Heart Association sort of used me as a pawn in their game, and I was a knowing pawn and a willing participant in that. But this was in the context of a huge debate at the state legislature over a transportation funding bill, and the American Heart Association was pushing really hard for the transportation funding bill to be multimodal in nature. They wanted more funding for bikes, pedestrians, and transit. And one party, you can guess which one, but one party was more favorable toward multimodal transportation than the other one, and it was a huge political fight. And this legislative committee, the majority party in the Minnesota House, is the party that's less enthusiastic about multimodal transportation. And so I was speaking to that group, and so what I talked about, the reason they liked me and the reason they wanted to use me was because I represented a community in rural Minnesota and a small town, and because there's a common perception that Complete Streets is all big city stuff. And so they thought I was very useful because I was an example of how Complete Streets is not always big city stuff. And so I just, my testimony is on the APHA conference webpage, but I talked about economic development. I talked about making it more attractive for tourism, making it more pleasant to visit. I talked about sidewalk dining, outdoor cafe type stuff. You know, that's why we want the wider sidewalks so that more people will consume more pizza and beer at the restaurant, you know. And so I kind of hit the economic thing, you know, and I'm not allowed to lobby, and I did not lobby. Nowhere in my text do I ask them to do anything. I just talk about how awesome Battle Lake is. That's all. So, yep. Okay. We're talking about those two blocks and then another half block that's sort of behind the camera. This is a tiny town. It's 875 people. The entire, what could be considered downtown is like 2.5 blocks long. So it's not that much. We did not do a statistically valid randomized survey. We haven't done anything like methodologically rigorous, but anecdotally, we have had new businesses start in Battle Lake since the project. Certainly the mayor would tell you that a lot more people are biking since this. Now part of the reason why it gets difficult to sort of isolate causation in terms of what did this project on its own, there you go, what did that do for the community, is because at almost exactly the same time, almost exactly the same day that this finally got finished, the bike trail between Battle Lake and nearby Glendalow State Park also got finished. And so there's no question that the effect of the two combined has greatly increased biking and walking. But if you want to be really statistically rigorous about it, you know, to what degree was the increase of biking and walking attributable to our downtown project, and to what extent did it have to do with the Glendalow Trail? We don't know, and we probably never will know. That's really hard to isolate. So. No, they were two independent projects that by tremendous fortune just happened to happen at the same time. We were super lucky on that. Yeah. The American Heart Association had nothing to do with this project. They were very interested in it after the fact. That's why they invited me to go speak at the state legislature. I will say, though, I want to give due credit to the Minnesota chapter of the American Heart Association, though they are very active in the state of Minnesota generally in terms of education and advocacy for these types of projects on a general state level, but they had no direct involvement in this project. Yeah, the art, from the engineering point of view, here's the art. From the engineering point of view, the art doesn't really eat their lunch or ruin their day, because we're in the public right-of-way, we're in the middle of the sidewalk, we're providing enough room for the wheelchairs and for the ADA requirements, we're not really interfering with them. The art was layered on top of their building the sidewalks and everything, so they didn't really, we didn't really cost them anything, we didn't inconvenience them anything, we're just kind of icing on the cake. From the point of view of the city, I think the public art stuff is a relatively easy sell because Battle Lake is a heavily tourist-dependent economy, so anything they can do to make Battle Lake cool to visit, they love. So, in fact, the fish, the mayor wants us to put a wall-mounted speaker behind the fish with a motion detector so that anytime anybody comes close to the fish, like a 20-minute recording would play, and the fish would tell you all about local tourist attractions and amenities and places to eat and drink. So we're going to work on that one next. So.
Any one last question, anyone? Yes. Sorry.
Can you talk about the difference in price in the cost of the project and how that was addressed?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not significantly
right.
More expensive.
And this is something that's very state dependent, and I would seriously recommend that you research this in your own state and find out how it works. Because in Minnesota, any town in Minnesota that has a population of less than 5,000 people that has a state highway running through it, when they do this type of project, in other words, from here to here, it's a 90-10 cost split. The city pays 10%, the state pays 90%. Now, the state's 90% does not include this stuff. Okay, but the state's 90% does include the sidewalks. Okay, that might not be that way in every state, but fortunately for us, it is that way in Minnesota. So the state picked up 90% of this. Battle Lake only had to pay 10%. Battle Lake paid their 10% mostly through municipal liquor store revenues. So, all right.
Thank you. Yes,
I think so, in part. I think the 90-10 split predates the Complete Streets statute, state statute, which was adopted in 2010. But what the state statute did was it expanded MnDOT's sense of responsibility to include the bikes and the pedestrians. I think previously, the 90-10 split was always there, but it was very automobile-centric pre-2010. Now MnDOT feels a responsibility for the pedestrians and the bicyclists, too.
Great. Thank you.